of course, the theme for the VBS is God's creation. And we're going to be looking at the creation week and all that we can learn about the creation of God. And so this morning I wanted us to look at a part of God's creation that is not specifically a part of the Vacation Bible School. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, and you look in Genesis chapter 1, how many days did it take for God to create everything? 6 days. We're going to have one of the classes during VBS is on that specific topic about 6 days of creation. 6 days. How quickly do you think God could have created everything? I mean, do you think 6 days was like slow motion for him? You know, there are some individuals who believe that it took millions of years for all of this to come about. You think 6 days was, you know, you think God got bored, you know, after the morning? Here's 6 days that he created everything. And at the end of each day, when he observed his creation, what was his evaluation? It's good. Well, wouldn't you expect that? I mean, if God created something, how would you evaluate it? It's good. But you get to day six. You get to day six and you have the last day, the final day. Do you sometimes save the best for last? Maybe when you go out to eat, or maybe when you're eating at dinner, do you sometimes save the best part for last, or do you eat dessert first? Which way do you go? Sometimes we save the best for last. Did God save the best part of His creation for last, for the last day? Chuck, no? I'm not going to ask Chuck what he means by no. I'm afraid to let that out now. That's what I was wondering if Chuck was going for, but saving the best for last. You know, after God created the male, He did say that it is not good. Is that what He said? He created the male and He said, it is not good. Now, excuse me, did He put a period after the word good? Did He say, there's the male, it is not good, period. Is that what He said? No, okay, that's not what He said. It is not good that man should be alone. That was the not good. Okay, so back to the point. God saved the best for last. The culmination of creation week. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. The culmination of the creation week is when God said, let us make man in our image. What does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. What does that mean? When God said, let there be light, when He created the firmament, when He created the dry ground and the vegetation, when He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, when He created the fish and the birds, do we read Him saying, let us do this? We don't read that. Verse 23 and 24 talk about the living creatures and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Notice that the creeping things were before He made man, okay? So we're not the creepy things. When God created the creeping things of the earth, did He say, let us make these creepy things in our image? Let us make the fish in our image. Let us make the birds in our image. Do we read that? No. It's not until we get to God's creation of man where you have a divine, as it were, conference that's made where the Godhead comes together and the Godhead says, let us not just make man, not just take a pile of dirt, a pile of dust. Let us not just take a pile of dust and create a human being, but let us create him in our image. What does it mean that you have been made in the image of God? You are set apart from the rest of God's creation. There is no other part of God's creation that compares anywhere close to mankind, humankind. What is it that sets us apart? When God looked at this part of His creation and said, this is going to be far and above anything else that I've done, what was it? Well, let's answer that by saying, what was it not? Apparently, I have no control this morning. Hey, Ivan, can somebody over there give me control of this little fun thing? Just hit, do an alt tab. Just do a quick alt tab, see if that works on the keyboard. This is not Ivan's job over there. Ivan is in charge of audio, not computers. So we should have tested this. Hey, look at that. Now it's gone. Good job, Ivan. It went too fast? Yeah, class is over. We just went through all the PowerPoint, and did y'all get it? That's class. All right. Okay, what does it not mean? Now that we have our technical difficulties over with. What does it not mean that we were made in the image of God? It does not mean that we are God. What was part of the temptation of Satan to Eve? You eat of this fruit and what's going to happen? Oh, okay. So, is that what it means to be made in the image of God? Are there people today who think they are gods? I'm not saying they believe they are God's gift to the world. Forget that. That's low class for them. They believe they're gods. We live in a world where self-deification is a popular thing. When we were made in the image of God, does that mean that we are God? That we are divine? No. Made in the image of God, does that mean we look like Him? Physically. This is the popular notion, perhaps, that when we were made in the image of God, that we were made to look like God physically. Is that what it means? How many eyes does God have? So you got two? How many arms does God have? Does God have two arms? How many hands? Does God look like us? Do we look like God? Would that mean that a gorilla almost looks like God? Has nothing to do with physical appearance, does it? Is God a material being? God is what Jesus in John 4, verse 24, what did He say? God is spirit. Well, does spirit have flesh and blood and bones? No, Jesus said that that's not the case. So we're not talking about being made in the image of God doesn't mean we are God. It doesn't mean that we are made to look like God, and so our physical features are somehow supposed to make us look like God looks. It does not mean that, and we won't deal with this, but there's some who have tried to make a difference between the image of God and the likeness of God, but there's no difference there. Those words are, in Genesis 1 and verse 26 and 27, those words are used interchangeably, so that's not what it's talking about. So what does it mean? We've got about 20 minutes. What does it mean? I think it would be difficult for us to pinpoint one feature of mankind and say, this is what He's talking about. In your mind, I think you've already got an answer to what does it mean that we are made in the image of God. But the Bible does not specify for us exactly what that means. Not down to a level where there is inclusive of only one feature of mankind that says this is what it's all about. I think if you look at us as human beings, you will see that there are a lot of things about us that are like God. And a lot of things about us that separate us from the rest of creation. For example, what does it mean? What does it entail? Man is capable of speaking. Now, sometimes that's not a good thing, okay? God spoke and He made everything. Sometimes people speak and they just make trouble. That's what we are able to make sometimes by our words. But what does Psalm 33 say? Psalm 33, verse 6, and then down again in verse 9, it says that He spoke and it stood fast. There it was. God is a God who speaks, and He not only spoke the world into existence, but how did He, if you're in Genesis 1 in verse 28, how did He communicate to Adam and Eve? Did He send him a text message? I want you to picture God's text message. What does it look like? Does it have any vowels in it, or is it all consonants? All right. What kind of abbreviations does He use? How did he choose to communicate with Adam and Eve? Did He send him an email? Telegram? He said unto them. God speaks. Is there any other creature on this earth that has the ability to speak? Now, I know what you're going to say, because everybody is always looking for a way to prove the preacher or the teacher to be out of his mind and wrong, right? So, okay, he's going to say that there's no other creature on this earth who can speak, but I've got a bird. And I've got a bird who can say all sorts of things, funny things. Where'd that bird learn how to do that? Was this bird born into an environment of other birds who taught him how to speak? Was he born with a natural grammar that was just flowing from his feathers that was able to... How do animals learn how to speak like that? There's no other creature on this earth besides human beings who have the ability to communicate via speech. Nor is there any other creature on this earth who know how to communicate via writing. Did God ever write anything? What did He write? Ten Commandments. What did He use a typewriter for that? How did He write the Ten Commandments? I mean, I know He didn't use a computer. Give me a break. All right, so was it a typewriter? He wrote the Ten Commandments with His finger. Did He write anything else? I gave you a clue there in Daniel chapter 5. He wrote on the wall. Your kids ever do that? See, when your kids write on the wall, it is evidence they are made in the image of God. Okay? So when you get mad and angry and upset, just remember, God did that too. And then punish them for it. But... has God written anything else? Has He written any books? Cracks me up. I don't know about you. Cracks me up during Christmas time. Have you ever heard this script that's read around Christmas time when they're talking about the birth of Jesus? They're talking about the life of Jesus. And then there's this line in this script that says about Jesus, you know, it says, you know, He never did this, He never did that, and He never wrote a book. There's this part in that script about He never wrote a book. I thought, wow, you know, where'd this thing come from? I mean, I'm a little confused if He never wrote a book. Is there any other book that He wrote that's eternal in its nature, at least as we're told about it? He puts name. Do you know that God can write your name and erase your name? Now, here we are, human beings. Is there any other part of God's creation that can write essays? Wasn't that your favorite part of school? Favorite part? Those who have graduated recently. What were the essays, the essay tests, were those like the best part of school ever? I mean, if you had your choice between true and false, 50-50, or writing a 1,000-word essay, which one you want to do? Man, I'll go true and false every day, not have to write an essay. But here we are as human beings with the ability to write, and where did we get that? Now, these may not be things that you would consider being made in the image of God. We have the capability of speaking, the capability of writing, but who else does? We have, and I'm gonna put these next three up here together. We have an intellectual ability that no other part of God's creation does. How do animals act upon instinct? Do they not? Animals will react to certain stimuli. You know, you think about those animals that are put into test cases, and will the animal do this? Will the animal do this? We can train the animal to do this, but why is that animal being trained in that direction? Well, he is reacting to stimuli that have been put in his environment. If I go over there, I'm going to get a shock. Well, what does that animal learn to do? I'm not going to go over there. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, that's mind-boggling, right? That a creature would decide, I go there, I get hurt, I won't go over there anymore. I mean, we need to put this guy teaching in the universities, right? I mean, here's an animal that figured out you don't go over there because you're going to get hurt. They react to things. They act upon some kind of an instinct. What about humans? What about the intelligence of human beings? Are animals any better off intellectually today than they were 2,000 years ago? Have animals advanced in their intellect? I mean, have they grown so far in their abilities than where they were 2,000 years ago? I mean, why are dogs still living in dog houses? Why are dogs still living outside? Why are cows still out in the pasture? Why aren't they living in the house now? Haven't they figured out how to do that? They haven't learned to read. That's a problem. You know, they haven't learned to write. I mean, have you seen these billboards with these cows writing up there? They don't even know how to spell. Okay? Now, of course, maybe our kids in school, that's how they're being taught to spell. C-H-I-K-N, chicken. You know, I mean, maybe that's how our kids are being taught to spell, and that's how our cows are being taught to spell. Human beings have an intelligence about them. Are we any better off in our growth and development of intellect and ability than we were 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago? Have we had any advancements in our life, in our lifestyle, based upon things that we have learned? Man has the ability to reason. He has the ability to think. Now, having the ability and actually using it, okay? Two different things. Humankind, when I say that means male and female. Mankind has the ability to reason, to think through things, to compare things. Is this like this? Is this different than this? Contrasting things. When God says in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come and let us reason together. Did he say that to the worms living in the ground? Did he say that to the insects? Did he say that to the dinosaurs? Who did he say that to? No other creature on this earth that has the ability to reason, to think through things. That word reason is used in the book of Acts. When Paul came to a new city, he would go into the synagogue and he would reason with the people who were there. What does that mean? It means he would walk in, he would present evidence that would show what the Bible did say about Jesus. Then he would present evidence as to what Jesus did, and then he would bring those two things together and say, this is what it said he would do, this is what he did, he is the Son of God. And what could those people do? They could put it together. They could reason it out in their minds. Now, does that mean that they would always accept it? Always believe it? No. Jerry says, unfortunately, no. And that's the whole point, is that man has been given the ability not only to reason through things, but, number five, to make choices. Man has the ability to make choices. Dirk? Yes. That's exactly right. And that's what this making choices, Dirk says, it's that free will aspect that animals don't have. God gave unto man a free will. What does that mean? You get to make your own decisions. You want to make stupid decisions? Go on and make them. You got the right to do that. You want to make good decisions? Sure, go on. You've got the right to do that. You know, is this a good thing? In some people's estimations, or a not so good thing to have free will?
Depends on if you're living under a dictatorship or not.
Okay. Depends on what country you might be living in. Free will, a good thing? Or a not so good thing? Well, you could answer this in a number of ways. One, God gave it to us. What does that make it? It better be a good thing. But how do some people use it? You know, you can't force people to use what they're given in the way that you want them to use it all the time, can you? Even your children? You let your children make certain choices? Did you let your children make certain choices on their own? Did they always make good decisions? Of course not. They're kids. It's not until they get your age when they make perfect decisions and they never make mistakes. All right? But when they're young like that, they're going to make mistakes. But what happens when man makes mistakes? Is he able to learn from those mistakes? Is he able to, hopefully, advance from those? Why? Because he's been given a free will. He's been given the opportunity to make choices. And Jerry mentioned this when we were talking about Paul going in and reasoning about what Jesus had done, proving him to be the Son of God. God gave man the choice whether to believe that or not, didn't he? Did God cram it down your throat and say, you're going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God whether you want to or not? Did he do that? No. Did he force us to obey him? Does he force us to honor him? Did God force you to be here today? Are you here because God woke you up this morning with a gun to your head and said, get out of bed and get down to the church building? Did God do that? What? That's not much of a free will, is it? You're here today because God gave you freedom of choice and you chose to be here today. Dirk? As Dirk says, with that free will comes consequences. That's going to happen. Jerry, did you have your hand up? Right.
Understand or choose to obey or not.
Right. You know, to understand the separation from, you know, as Jerry says, animals don't live under any kind of a written law, any kind of not that they could read it, understand it, and act upon it. And so, as Dirk said, that therefore there's no consequences that these animals are going to suffer. If you got a good dog at home or a bad dog at home, there's no eternal consequences that animal is going to suffer based upon how they respond to their training. Humans have freedom of will, freedom of choice, a gift given to us by God. We get to choose where to spend eternity. Is that true? We get to choose where we will spend eternity. Troy? Right. Yeah, Troy says the book of Genesis begins with the likeness of God and what He wants us to be, and then the Bible ends with the book of Revelation telling us here's where God wants us to be. Here's where He wants us to go. We have the freedom of choice. Whether a person goes to heaven or hell is not something that God forces upon them without their own ability to choose. What is the doctrine of Calvinism? John Calvin, who lived 500 years ago or thereabouts, the tenets of Calvinism are still very popular today. And some of those tenets are things like irresistible grace, meaning that those who are going to be saved are going to be saved by God's grace and there's nothing they can do about it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We have freedom of will, freedom of choice. We decide if we want to be saved by God or not. We decide if we want to go to heaven or not. We're made in the image, in the likeness of God. Where does He want us to choose? Well, obviously, that's what He wants us to choose, heaven. But did your children, were there things that you wanted of your children, from your children, but you had to let them make their own choices? Yeah. Gwen? Right. Gwen quotes from John 3:16 where the Bible says, whoever believes in Jesus should not perish. Not a guarantee, will not, but he should not. Why? Because there are things that God has put into place. There are factors that God has put into place that if we will follow by our own choice, by reasoning through the evidence to see if what God is saying is really true, and then deciding, am I going to do that or not? I can decide through my own freedom of will and choice if I'm going to obey God or not. Now, another aspect of being made in the image of God is the fact that we have an innate sense of morality. We are aware, as human beings, we are aware that there is a difference between right and wrong. Doesn't mean we always follow it. Doesn't mean we always agree with it. Doesn't mean that we are, but we are. We have an innate sense, an awareness that there is a difference between right and wrong. One of the interesting evidences to prove the existence of God, and we're going to talk about one tonight. We're going to talk about one tomorrow night in the adult classes when we talk about God's creation and the evidence for God. But there's one that we're not going to talk about as a part of the VBS, and it's an interesting one, and that is the existence of morality, the existence of a moral creature on this earth. Did that just evolve? Did we just evolve from a single-cell amoeba into a trillion-cell human being that has a moral sense about him? What was all that wrong with what Adolf Hitler did? Did he do anything wrong? Did he do anything bad? Based upon what? Based upon German law? Based upon American law? Based upon what? There is a moral code that is within us. Not based upon America or Germany or any nation on this earth. There is a moral code in mankind that looks, your reaction when I ask that question, that looks at what Adolf Hitler did and says, that is wrong in any language, in any world, in any country, anywhere, that's wrong. Based upon what? Based upon the fact that we have been made in the image of God. That's the moral code. And it's interesting that here we are as human beings. Were there any other creatures on this earth who were rising up in anger against Adolf Hitler? I mean, were the llamas out there in the field just going nuts at the reports of what was coming out of Germany? What makes us different? We're made in the image of God. And even those, and we don't have time to look at the Gentiles in Romans. Do I have the verse up there? Romans chapter 2. When Paul talked about the Gentiles who, because of an innate sense of morality, had a conscience about them, a conscience that either excused what they did, approving it, or accused them of doing wrong. But based upon what? Based upon some law under which they were living from some nation? No, because they were made in the image of God. We're different. We're different than all other creatures on this earth. We are creative. Was God creative? When God made the duck-billed platypus, was he creative? I mean, would you have come up with that one? You know, when you look around, when you look at a flower and you investigate the details of a flower, was God creative? You know how I would have made a flower? Take a piece of paper, color it pink, here's a flower, right? But God was, are we creative beings? Yeah. Do we have a love for creativity? And are we able to be moved by some of those things? And we're moving quickly through some of these things. Man can experience emotions. Heartfelt emotions. God is a God of love. Can we experience that emotion? Can we understand love? I know your pets love you. I know your goldfish, when he sees you coming, just jumps up to the top of that bowl and just talking to you all the while. I know he loves you. There's no creature on this earth that can understand a heartfelt love like human beings. We understand and can feel mercy. We understand and can feel compassion. And we can go to the other side of that spectrum and we can understand and feel anger. Did God ever get angry? You read your Old Testament, did God ever get angry? You read the life of Jesus, did Jesus ever get angry? Was there a righteous indignation that we see? Now, where does that come from? Did any of you get angry at what Adolf Hitler did? What? Well, wait a minute. Why did you get angry? Where did that anger come from? What was it based upon? Why did you have it? And the final two things, we have an innate religious sense about us. You go to any culture in this world, remote cultures in this world, and what will you find? You will find that they have been worshiping something. Where'd they learn about? Where'd that come from? Why would some culture who's out in the middle of nowhere, who maybe has never heard about the Almighty God, why would they have any inclination towards worshiping a higher being? That's in us. And I wish we had time to get to number 10, because this is the one we focus on, and we should more so than the rest of them, because this last one is spiritual. We're made in the image of God because He has put within us an eternal soul that's going to live forever. You look at God, He is an eternal being. He has created us, not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. God has put within us a soul that is going to live forever, made in His image, so that we can, on this earth, be what He would have us to be on this earth, so that we can, after life on this earth, be with Him, but only by our freedom of choice to do it. A lot for us to take in, a lot to consider this morning. Second bell is rung. We've got to stop. Thank you for your good participation this morning.